Open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah 35, please. Jeremiah 35. If I can just take a quick note and say, on behalf of the congregation, as an echo of Randy's sentiments this morning, how excited I am to have Bob and Michelle and also Tiffany among our fellowship now. We're so thrilled to have you among us, side by side, striving for the sake of the gospel. And truly hope that we're able to continue to increase the bonds of fellowship and continue to grow in Christ. We're so thankful to have you all with us and hope we all get to heaven together. The last couple of weeks, what we've been looking at is the power of the Word. Last week, we examined in the AM service that the Word needs to be on our constant minds. Again, Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. And recognizing that we should have a longing for the Word. And then this morning, what we recognized from Hebrews 4:11 through 13 was that it's not just being in the Word, but it's being impacted by the Word. God, through His Word, can discern our hearts, can show us who we really are, and then can transform us in His image, and that's the real power of the Word. I would like to bring these thoughts to a close this evening by looking at a small story in the book of Jeremiah related to the Rechabites. Now, you may have heard the Rechabites if you've studied through the book of Jeremiah before, but if you've never studied through the book of Jeremiah, you've probably never even heard the term Rechabite. They're only mentioned about three times in the Old Testament, and the majority of that story is here in Jeremiah 35. So the basic question I want to pose this evening is this: what lessons can we learn from the Rechabites? What we're going to do is work our way through Jeremiah chapter 35. We're going to try to understand what that text is showing. And then I'm going to offer two basic lessons that we can draw from the Rechabites. So as you consider the book of Jeremiah, the story of the Rechabites is one small story in Jeremiah 35. Overarchingly, the book of Jeremiah is a very negative book. You'll remember Jeremiah's nickname as the weeping prophet. If you read through the book, there is no question why he has that name. He's preaching to a people who have no desire to hear. They have no desire to obey. They continue in their sin, continue in their disobedience, continue in their faithlessness. And it just seems that he is just sometimes working against the wind, trying to get Israel to obey him. He prophesies mainly in the shadow of Babylonian captivity that came in 586 and is warning them, get your act together before God destroys you. And the basic message of the book is, yeah, they don't listen, and so he just has to keep preaching and prophesying. In the midst of all of the negativity of the book of Jeremiah, there is this one story in chapter 35 about a faithful people. And I want us to begin reading in Jeremiah 35, verse 1. We're going to read about their testing. Jeremiah 35, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Quick note about Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was put on the throne after his brother had already been on the throne. And their father, King Josiah, had been one of the greatest kings that had ever reigned in Judah, ever since David himself. And Josiah, although he was a faithful man who took down many of the high places, his two sons are an absolute disaster, including Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is just one generation later going to bring back many of the false ideals into Judah and lead them back into sinfulness. So this is a cloudy time for Judah. Verse 2, go to the house of the Rechabites and speak with them and bring them to the house of the Lord into one of the chambers, then offer them wine to drink. So I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Habazaniah, and his brothers and his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them to the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, near the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalem, keeper of the threshold. Then I set before the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and said to them, drink wine. Now, you'll notice with me this story. In verse 1, it is the word of the Lord that comes to Jeremiah. It then prompts him in verse 2 to go to the Rechabites and tell them, drink this wine. So then, verse 3 and 4, he goes and gets the Rechabites, brings them, and in the verse 5, he's testing them. So really what God is doing here is he is testing them to see whether or not they are going to be faithful to their commands or whether they are going to be faithless and actually drink the wine. Now, you'll notice where he takes them. Verse 4, I brought them to the house of the Lord. He takes them to the very dwelling place of God and is going to tempt them there. So here you have a story of a prophet of God testing a people of God, trying to get them to drink wine. Now, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to give just a very, very brief history of the Rechabites. The Rechabites really have two other main mentions in the Old Testament. The first that we see is they are descendants of the Kenites. In 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, the whole first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles are a long list of genealogies. And here you see they are descended from the Kenites. Real brief story about the Kenites. The Kenites were a race, a nation really, an ethnicity, that was already in the land whenever Israel comes into Canaan. They are going to stay in the land and then marry themselves to many of the people of Judah. So really the Rechabites are a descendant of those who had already been in the land, but in then many other ways intermarry themselves with Israel. The most famous story we have of the Rechabites outside of this occasion in Jeremiah 35 is found for us in 2 Kings chapter 10. Here you see King Jehu happen upon one of the descendants, Jehonadab. And as he meets him, Jehonadab is going to assist Jehu in the slaughter of the house of Ahab after much of his wickedness. So we know from their history two brief things. They have a somewhat eclectic ethnicity. They're Kenite, Israelite. But the second thing we know is their ancestors were faithful. That's the main purpose of that story, is to show us their ancestors were at least faithful to God. So going back to the text in Jeremiah 35, here's what we have. We have a group of people, the Rechabites, descended from a faithful clan who have made various covenants that they are going to remain faithful to God. So that's the main aspect here. A faithful group being tested to see whether or not they are going to remain faithful to their convictions. So picking up in verse 6, we're going to see how they respond. Verse 6, the Rechabites answered, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, you shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, you shall not sow seed, you shall not plant or have a vineyard, but you shall live in tents all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he's commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, ourselves, our wines, our wives, our sons, our daughters, and not to build houses to dwell in. We have no vineyards or feed or seed, but we've lived in tents and have obeyed and done all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the land, we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and the army of the Syrians. So we are living in Jerusalem. So you'll notice their reaction immediately as they're tested with wine, verse 6. They answered, we will drink no wine because Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us. Why are they not going to do this? Because our father commanded us not to do this. The Rechabites were somewhat different in that they had very special vows. One of the foremost, do not drink wine. Another, do not make dwelling places, but live in tents. They were not to even have fields. Keep yourselves moving. Finally then, as the Chaldeans come, they move themselves to Jerusalem, and that explains why they find themselves in Jerusalem during the time of Jeremiah. But again, let's notice the story. A prophet of God says, here, drink wine. They say, verse 6, we will drink no wine because Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us. What's their rationale? We will not do it because we were commanded. We will not do it. Now again, put yourself in their situation. Here you have a prophet of God telling you to drink wine. Here you have a prophet of God telling you, it's okay, do it. No. We will not do it because our Father told us to. Now, within the story, let's understand. God is not trying to lead them into sin. God is testing them. God is testing them to see, will they be faithful or faithless? And that's what Jeremiah is doing here, is he's testing them to see what their reaction will be. Well, based on their reaction of faithfulness, there's various lessons that Jeremiah draws beginning in verse 12. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and listen to my words, declares the Lord. The command that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept. And they drink none to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. I've spoken to you persistently, but you've not listened to me. I've sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently saying, turn now every one of you from his evil way and amend your deeds and do not go after other gods to serve them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, but you did not incline your ear or listen to me. The sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have kept the command that their father gave them, but this people has not obeyed me. Let's stop there. What's the basic lesson? I think verse 16 summarizes it very well. The sons of Jonadab, or Jehonadab, depending on your translation, the son of Rechab have kept the command that their father gave them. What did they do? They kept the command. They kept the command that they were given. They were tested. They kept the command. But what did Israel do? But this people has not obeyed me. What has God done? Verse 14. I have spoken to you persistently, but you've not listened to me. Ever since the time of Elijah, for a couple of hundred years, God has been sending prophets to his nation, warning them, listen to me, come back to me, do as I say, listen to my word. But Israel has said, no, no. They have closed their ears. I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again, persistently saying, turn now every one of you from his evil way and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to serve them, and then you shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers. But, notice verse 15, you did not incline your ear or listen to me. What's the difference? The sons of Rechab listened and obeyed the command of their fathers. Israel has not listened to the command of their God. Picking up in verse 17. Therefore says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them and they've not listened. I've called to them and they've not answered. But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you've obeyed the commands of Jonadab your father and kept his precepts and done all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall never lack a man to stand before me. The Rechabites are faithful, Israel's unfaithful. Well, two lessons I would like for us to consider. The first is, here you have an example of a faithful people among an unfaithful nation. As you look back at the context of verse 14 and 15 that I reread for us, a couple of phrases from there. Verse 14, I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me. What did Israel do? I have spoken to you persistently. I gave you not only the commands of Moses, but then when you left the commands of Moses, then I sent to you Elijah, then I sent to you Elisha, then I sent to you a whole host of prophets. I have spoken to you, but you have not listened to me. Verse 15, You did not incline your ear or listen to me. What did they do? You have not listened. What did the Rechabites do? Verse 6. They answered, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us. What were the Rechabites? They heard, they listened, and they obeyed the command of Jonadab, their father. Israel heard but did not listen, nor did they heed, nor did they obey the command of God. What should we be? We should be faithful. Keep your marker here, but let's go to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, John is warning his beloved recipients about the thralls of the world, about the enticements that it has. And he tells them in verse 15, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. All the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The lesson here is, let us not love the world, but let us love the Father. Let us not be taken in by the enticements of this world, but let our passions be given over to the spiritual commands of our loving God. We must be faithful in the midst of an unfaithful people. Here, the Rechabites were in the midst of the reign of Jehoiakim, a wicked, faithless king. They were in the midst of a nation who had seen God bring judgment upon their brothers in Israel, but still they continued in sin. They lived in the midst of a nation who had just seen a king tear down idols and restore temple worship, and yet then they themselves go back to false gods. They lived in a nation that had just seen faithfulness restored, yet then they go back to the ways of the world. Israel was a disappointment. They were faithless. Yet then you have this one clan, the Rechabites. They were Kenites. They weren't even real Israelites. They're Kenites who aren't even pure-blooded Israelites, who Jeremiah uses as a faithful example. As you go throughout the book of Jeremiah, this is one of the very, very few exceptions of faithfulness you see in the book. People who were not even of Moses are faithful to God. Brother, my question for us then is, shall we be faithful or shall we be faithless? Shall we be like the Rechabites or shall we be like the world? Shall we be the faithful minority or shall we give in to the wants of the majority? How should we live? Should Jeremiah be among us today, I would ask us, how would we respond? Should God test us and put before us wine and put before us whatever enticement of the world it may be, how would we respond? Israel had given in. I mean, by the time you get to temple worship at this point, it was filled with every type of frivolity and sex and drunkenness and wickedness that you could even begin to imagine. But then the Rechabites come in. We will not drink, for Jonadab our father commanded us. I think the lesson for us is quite simple. It's one that's quite simple to say, but one quite difficult to live. We need to be faithful to God. That's the lesson of the Rechabites. Let's be faithful to God. The second lesson, and this ties more into our theme that we've been examining about the power of the Word of God. We need to keep the command. As you'll turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 35, I want us to note especially verse 16. This, I think, summarizes the chapter so well. This is a verse in your study Bible you may want to underline because it really summarizes the chapter so well. The sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have kept the command that their father gave them, but this people has not obeyed me. One more time. The sons of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, have kept the command that the father gave me, but this people has has not obeyed. What must we do? We must keep the command. We must keep the command. Let's remember, God had given through Moses His holy law. God had given through Moses not only the Decalogue of the Ten Commandments, but the holy law that would make them a holy people should they reach atonement. We've been talking about this on Sunday morning. Through atonement and the holy life, they would be a holy people unto God. They had put away the laws of Moses. They had put away the teachings of their holy forefather. And so then God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet, warning them and telling them and speaking to them, come back to me, listen to the law. But you have not listened and you have not obeyed. What was Israel? Israel heard but did not listen. They heard but did not obey. They heard but did not obey their holy God. That was Israel. How then did the Rechabites respond? The Rechabites, when they're tempted, they respond, we will drink no wine, for we will listen to the command of our father. Verse 16. The son of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, has kept the command that their father gave them. But this people has not obeyed me. Brethren, what is our relationship with the law of the Lord? What's our relationship with it? Will we listen to it? Will we obey it? Will we heed it? Or will we be like Israel and we put it off? As we talked about this morning, I firmly believe God works through His Word. I believe with all my heart that God's power that made this earth, God's power that formed this very universe, is working through His holy Word. The holy, powerful, almighty hand of our God that formed this earth, that gave His Son, that has given redemption, it is the same guiding hand that is piercing every intention of mankind through His holy Word. Will we listen? Will we obey? Paul had warned Timothy, turning with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, that Timothy needed to be like the Rechabites. Timothy was likewise going to be tempted. Timothy was going to be like those who lived in the midst of a sinful generation, but let's note how he was to live. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings. Let's stop there. What did the Rechabites do? They followed the command of Jonadab. They followed the command of Jonadab. What did Timothy do? Timothy followed the way. He followed the command of Paul, who followed the command of Christ, who followed the command of the Father. He patterned his life after the very steps of Jesus Christ. You followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my sufferings. You followed them. Continuing on. All my sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice verse 13. Does that sound anything like Israel? I think that is a perfect description of Israel during the time of Jehoiakim. Israel had become an evil people who had gone from bad to worse. Not only had they given in to all types of evil wickedness, they had eventually taken themselves into idolatry. They had taken themselves into the sin that is most detested of all in the books of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy. They took themselves from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. They were like the world. They were like those in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, who had given in to the passions of this life. They were like those of Israel who had given in to the wickedness of the age. They were like those even today who give in to the wickedness of this world. Brethren, God has spoken. God has spoken through His one Son, Jesus Christ, and He has given His message through the holy power of this Word. Will we listen? Will we listen to His holy command? The Word of God has always been tested in the eyes of man. And perhaps Perhaps the recognition of the infallibility and inerrancy and divine inspiration of the Word is being tested more than ever. I don't know. But I do know this. It is not cool and it's not in the majority to say that the Bible is truly from the Word of God. It is not in the majority to say that God has truly spoken from His Word. It's rather the majority to put it off. To put it off and find our own happiness, find our own truth, find our own way, find our own life. No. God has spoken through His Word. He has given us His commands through Jesus Christ. Let's not be like that. Rather, verse 14, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. How from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. While the world around Timothy may have continued to not listen, not obey, and not heed the holy commands of God, as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you've learned it. Does it sound like the Rechabites? What must we do? We need to follow the commands of God. So, brethren, what then do the Rechabites teach us? How do the Rechabites enrich and extend our understanding that we've gained over the last couple weeks about the Word of God? I would recommend this. The Rechabites teach us to be faithful to God, following His commands in the midst of the world. How devoted to His Word will we be? How committed to His laws will we be? How invested in His commands will we be? Will we be like the Rechabites, or will we be like Israel? Get out your songbooks, please. I hope you benefited from that small story in Jeremiah 35. As you go through Jeremiah 35, that book just makes you want to tear your hair out as you read through it. Because here you have a people that are about to be destroyed by Babylon. And God is trying to warn them, stop your sinfulness. Stop it. Just please stop it. I mean, He loves these people so much. And they just stop. They don't listen. They won't obey. They won't heed. And they just keep doing what they have always done. And they just keep on in their sin, keep on in their faithlessness. But then as you get to Jeremiah 35, you see this small story of the Rechabites, this small clan who in the midst of an ungodly generation was continuing to do what God had told them. They were continuing to follow the commands of Jonadab. They were continuing to follow God, and because of that, God made them a promise. They were devoted. Brethren, how devoted are we? Are we convicted in this world, in the Word? Let me rephrase my question. Are we convicted in the Word, or are we convicted by the world? That, I think, is a lesson that the Rechabites urge me to consider. How really convicted am I? You know, when there's a temptation or there's a testing before me, will I stay in the commandments of God? Will I heed the words that He's given to me? Or will I just give in to the world and do what the world would have me to do? The Rechabites teach us to be faithful. 1 John teaches us to be faithful. Timothy teaches us to be faithful. No matter how much the world may try to get us to go away, no matter how much faithlessness there may be in this world, brethren, let us always be like the Rechabites. Let's be faithful. Let's be diligent. Let's be steadfast. Let's be dedicated. Because God's power is surely working through this Word, and we just have to let Him work in our lives if we truly let this Word do what it's supposed to do. So maybe you need to respond to the gospel invitation. The message that Jeremiah gave was, obey and you won't be punished. Obey and you can stay in the land. Obey and you can keep the promises that were given to Abraham. The promise made to us is so much better. Have faith in Jesus Christ and His grace will reach you. Have the obedience of faith and His grace and His love will save you. That's the power of the Word. It's not just about staying in the land. It's about going to God. It's about being with Him for eternity. And that's what we need to listen to. If by faith you want to obey and respond to the gospel call in the waters of baptism and you want to come to Jesus Christ this very evening, come forward while we stand and sing.